following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland is brought to you by the New York City Guitar School. Yes, you can find them online. Look for their banner ad at our website at radio-memphis.com. Click that and go on over there and take a look at what they have to offer. The reason why we talk about this is because that there's a lot of people out there who have always wanted to learn how to play guitar, but have not really enjoyed the learning experience. I've talked to guys that have done this, and women as well. It's just sitting down sometimes with an instructor can be, well, a little difficult or a little off-putting because you may not like that person, or you may not just enjoy the process. And that's the thing about being a musician. You should enjoy what you're doing. That's the whole point. Well, the New York City Guitar School has got you all set up. They've got this online way of for you to learn how to play the guitar. And there's some really cool things. There's even a free video up there that has some samples. You can pick up a few tips and tricks. Yeah, that's what I meant. Some tips and tricks on playing a little better. You get a taste of what it's like. And if you feel this is right for you, you can sign up for many of the online classes right then and there. And you can study the guitar at your pace. Learn what you want. You want to learn the blues? They'll teach it to you. Want to learn some rock and roll, some gospel, some country? It's all there. Some really cool stuff can be found at the New York City Guitar School. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. Oh my goodness, a couple of weeks ago, we lost Muhammad Ali, a very interesting character, an interesting person. He was a polarizing individual. Hated by some, loved by some. Actually, he was the greatest. He was the best boxer that ever set foot in a ring. But here's the thing: by saying that, there are people, and I'll get to this in a minute. There are people who have gone completely ape over that statement because they thought, "Oh, Mike Tyson would whip his ass." If you cannot look at boxing on a statistical level per se, it's because it's not an even playing field. It really isn't. You have to look at that ability. You have to look at what these guys have done in the ring, and Ali was certainly one of them. He was also very polarizing because of what some have referred to as his political views, some of the things that he was saying, some of the things that he did in his life, what happened to him. Drew some very distinct lines of thought between individuals. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I made a post on Facebook, and I have it here in front of me, and I wrote, "I am amused by all of the anti-Islam people showing love to Muhammad Ali. I guess hypocrisy truly knows no boundaries." A couple of hashtags in there for you, too. But nevertheless, it took off. There were a lot of people that really commented on it. And it was impressive to me by just that simple observation. It was also set onto my Twitter page, which got picked up by a couple of folks. But it didn't have the groundswelling movement like it did on Facebook. It took off. Lots of comments. Roughly, as of right now, 160-something people like it. There are... just a plethora of comments that are on it, and it was impressive to see this. Now, because here's the basis of as to why I wrote what I wrote. We're in the throes of a very controversial political season, and you've got a guy who is running for the office who is, well, for the lack of a better term, a bit of an idiot. He's also very racist, and he says some very horrible things. And he has in the past attacked various individuals for being, you know, pro-Muslim. And because there was a comment that the president had made about Muslim athletes and honoring Muslim athletes and Muslims that have done good in American culture and American society. Because there are those that are. And, of course, Trump is all over him by saying these things, going, oh, the, what kind of a profiling statement is that? Blah, blah, blah. You know, the, all the Muslims are bad. Then Muhammad Ali dies and Trump tweets out, yeah, he was truly the greatest. What a shame that he has passed away. And then there were a lot of people that, you know, reminded Mr. Trump that he was, in fact, a Muslim. He took the Muslim face of the religion at its face value of being a peaceful religion. Yes, there are factions that are not. Yes, there are fundamentalists who really like to see the destruction of various individuals. It's like that with any theology, with any religion, quite frankly. There are fundamentalist Christians that preach hatred and preach violence. And you can deny that all you want to, but they do exist. But my remark here was that I was amused by all of the anti-Muslim people, anti-Islamic people in social media that were actually showing all this praise and this love to Muhammad Ali. Well, by God, some of the content comments on this, I did it obviously to provoke a thought, but I didn't expect it to turn into the shitstorm that it kind of got into. And I'm just as easily amused by that, by the way people think. And there were these individuals. Well, there was one guy who referred to him as just another draft dodging loser. There were people who had stated that I didn't know what I was talking about, and that, well, there's no hateful people on Facebook. Oh God, what is it with these people? And it sparked an interesting religion discussion. Somebody had said, you know, he wasn't born in Islam. That's the religion he chose. Still, I can't be as mean and hateful toward his family and wife. I've lost my husband less than 2 years ago, this writer writes. And I know the pain of losing someone you love to those who bash him. I only hope they never have to live through losing your mate, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody else wrote, is it any different than anti-Christian people praising someone belonging to the Christian faith for a lifetime of accomplishments? Some of this stuff doesn't really quite make that much sense, but I get it. Another one wrote, the one person I have not issued a RIP, effing draft dodger. It's what is cool to me about some of these comments is that even in death, Muhammad Ali was still managed to rile people up. What was kind of sad about the whole Ali thing, Joel and I were talking about this the other day, was that the media only brought out Ali when they needed him in retirement. You know, he 20 years ago or so, he was involved in the Olympics. He actually lit the Olympic flame. Many had referred to him as one of the greatest athletes ever. Maybe a bit of a pull, but that's what that was. And his comments over the past and his very polarizing life that he led, obviously with the whole idea that when he was inducted into the draft, I believe it was in 1967, he said no. He wasn't going to go. And he had his reasons. He was a conscientious objector. Based on his religion. And there were people that said that, well, he only changed religion so he wouldn't get drafted. That's not the case. He was arrested. He was thrown in jail. There was a trial. He lost. He was sentenced to prison. The Supreme Court took up the case and sided with him, releasing him from that. And as such, he lost the prime time of his life. And as an athlete, he lost that because he was not allowed to fight. He was not allowed to participate in that sport. But yet he came back and was still a force to be reckoned with. For God's sake, the man was a magician in the ring. Absolutely. But there were so many people that hated him for that. He had a point. You know, his reasoning for not wanting to be drafted to fight in this war in Vietnam was pretty simple. It was not his fight. He had no reason to want to be there. Well, it's got to be in the service of your country. The country asks you go. It's yes and no. I mean, we live in a time now, thankfully, that we do not have the draft. We have an all-volunteer military. My hat's off to these guys and these ladies that join. It's a very noble thing to do. Very good for people. If this is what you want to do, that's good. This way you're getting people that actually want to be there. If you're drafting somebody who doesn't want to be there, then it could cause some problems, really. I don't know that I'd want to be in a heat of battle with somebody whose heart wasn't really into it. It's a tricky point of view to think about, for sure. However, at the time, of the late 60s, civil rights were a massive issue in this country. Racism was rampant. It was crazy. And here he was, told by his government that he would go and fight in this war, when they were the same government that shit on him because he was black. There was segregation still. There were problems because of the color of his skin. Yet they wanted him to go and fight this war. Now, when people refer to him as a draft dodger, I mean, I guess technically he was. But he didn't leave the country either. He stayed right here in the United States and was very vocal about it. That takes a lot of balls. Right or wrong isn't the issue. The issue is he stood up for something that he believed in. And you have to admire somebody that does that. Well, anyway, back to this Facebook post. The comments that have come through here were just absolutely remarkable. There was a fight within a fight, if you will. Some guy had said, didn't like the guy's politics, but there's no denying the man was one of the best boxers ever. He was the epitome for boxing, being called the great sweet science. And then somebody had written right behind that, seems you know little to nothing about the man. You should maybe stick to subjects that you're knowledge about. This is what I love. The guy who had made the political remark, he said, seriously, so because I didn't like the guy's politics, but certainly give recognition and praise to his athletic talent. I'm not knowledge about what I'm saying. Here's some advice, bro. Before castigating anyone for what you perceive to be a lack of knowledge, maybe you should learn how to write correctly and stick to areas where you are knowledge about, unquote. Simpleton. And then he goes, I wasn't talking to you. You should go to your safe place. And then, you know, so I think Charles was talking to me about that I should stick to knowledge as to topics that I'm knowledgeable about. There was no knowledge involved in making that post. It was simply an observation. I can see things. I can observe. I can express my point of view on that. I have so far in the past 12 minutes. That's exactly what I've talked about. Somebody else had written, typical bullshit bait, good post for trolls. Yeah, you know, it got him to write. That's a beautiful thing. Well, anyway, somebody else had picked it up and shared it, and they had said that I was stirring up some shit, which that was kind of, you know, my goal. I'm not gonna shy away completely from that. Of course, that was part of my intent was to, yes, let's stir the pot up, because really, and we've talked about this before. I mentioned it last week as well. The goal here on this show, and what I do on the air, and what I do on social media, is to be that guy, to be that guy that helps you look at something from a different angle. It doesn't have to be right. It doesn't have to be wrong. It's just look at something from a different angle for a moment before things get too hot and heavy and completely out of control. You have to do that. If you sit there with your ideas and your opinions, which we all have our thoughts and our ideas and our opinions about certain things, and we pontificate upon those thoughts and those ideas based on solely one or two sources of information, or by that by which we have been raised, then you're not really getting the full picture. Look at it from all angles. I find that when I do that, when I look at something from all various different angles, I find that I can make a sensible argument a little bit better. Whether I'm defending something or arguing against it, it makes no real difference at that point. But I want to be able to understand, you know, like if say, for example, you you know, you, I don't know, you have a particular point of view about something that I, on its surface, I may not agree with. Well, the thing for me to do would be to try and understand why you agree or disagree with that statement. So I want to look at where it is that you're getting your information as well. It might be something I've never considered before. It might be right. It might be wrong. You might be basing your argument on a fallacy or a lie. If that's the case, that happens. And then when what you do in these things is very delicately, very gently say, look, this is not true information. It's been proven false. Check your sources. Check yourself before you wreck yourself, man. So yeah, I mean, when it comes to even the death of an athlete, Muhammad Ali's passing, the idea here that he had become such an iconic force in and outside of the ring bears mentioning. It bears thought. You didn't have to like the guy. You don't even have to respect the guy, quite frankly. The idea that he was what he was is impressive. He sure made a lot of people think in the 60s. Made a lot of people think all the way up, even past his death. That there, my friends, tells me everything I need to know. It really does. Because if somebody is that way, if somebody is that polarizing, somebody that makes that big of an impact on all of us, it bears looking at. Whether you agree with it or not. You can still hate. If you really want to carry that around, that's up to you. That's my point of view, at least on that. I you know, there's things that I don't like. There's things that I absolutely hate. But I don't let that carry me around. I can't let that just, you know, be the bag that I carry everywhere I go. Hatred is one of those things. I try and just let it go as much as I can, or avoid it. You know, there's times or situations when I find myself in that I'm really not comfortable, I'm not happy with. I will politely disappear. Which is what I do, and I said politely, yes, I'm not going to be that guy, unless you're being that guy to me. And then yeah, then I'll say it. I'll say things that people think. Oh, I do it. I do it all the time. I like doing that. I think everybody should. Say what other people are thinking. Say what you think. You don't necessarily have to possess that filter. You know, everybody talks about it. Well, you know, Rick's one of those guys that, you know, when he ignores that filter that everybody else has, that you shouldn't say these things out loud. Bullshit. I have it. You should hear some of the shit that I don't say. But I guess that's what makes us all unique. And I like doing that. I'll toot my own horn, if you will, for a moment and tell you that the things that I say, yes, are not all that popular, nor are they designed to be all that popular. Because here's the real rub of it. I know that I'm not going to please every single person I meet or that encounters what I do, whether it's this show or what I do on the air or anything out in public. I'm not out to impress you all.
Well, that just seems counterproductive since you're in show business. Don't you want people to like you?
No, I don't. I know that seems kind of weird, but I don't want you to like me. I want you to like what I do. I don't even want you to like what I say all the time either. It's not my job. My job is to help you open up your head a little bit and to see things just a little differently. It's that important. It's incredibly important to do that. Because if I can make you open up your head for just a moment and look at it, I'm not expecting you to agree or disagree with it, but just see it, observe it. That's part of the education process. This is how you gain knowledge.
I saw this one time and I surely shit didn't like it. But I saw it.
It's hard to argue that. It really is hard to argue that. So, you know, yeah, I mean, yes, I'm in show business. People will say, well, you know, I don't like Rick because he does this or that or the other. Or I don't like this. Or I don't like him. You don't have to like me. just like what I do. That's far more important. Obviously, it's working. There's a scads of listeners to this very show. Thousands of you, apparently, have found reason to listen to this. Now, there are, I know there's a good number of you that listen to this because you hate it, and that's all well and good. That's fine. And I know there's a lot of you, and it turns out most of you, because I do receive some very nice messages, and I meet some wonderful people about it, who will say, hey, listen, I listened to the show. You know, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed that. I didn't particularly care for this. You know, I didn't agree with you on that. That's fine. That's beautiful. That's how dialogue works. That's how the forward progression of information is established. It doesn't necessarily have to be everybody's on an agreement type thing. The whole point is that I don't preach hate. I don't preach, you know, violence by any means. I think all of that is wrong. Just because you don't think the way I think doesn't mean that I have to, you know, I have to kick your ass over it, or I have to, you know, beat it into you in some way, shape, or fashion. I don't give a shit about that. You have your opinion and I have mine. And it was fascinating to me over this Muhammad Ali post that people just, they drew these incredibly dramatic lines in the conversation about how they thought, which is great. But some of the things that were being said were you could sense the vitriol. You could sense the hatred. You can sense that, you know, jaw, clenched jaw, tooth grinding, angry, banging away on their keyboard to make sure that their fucking statement was in your face. That's how they think. It's unfortunate, but it's also very amusing. This is the thing. I've often said it, that people suck, and they do. But they're also infinitely interesting to me. When I can sit in a position like I just did there, and I can make a statement that was not designed, if you notice, it's not designed to insult anybody. Because if you felt insulted by saying that all the anti-Islam people showing love to Muhammad Ali, if you found that statement alone offensive, then who's the racist? Who is the one here that is filled with the hate? You just outed yourself. It's not worth being like that. Not in my point of view, it isn't. I don't think the world is big enough for that. We don't need to carry these things around. I don't mean to be preachy, but wouldn't life be a little bit better if we just kind of set that aside? Hatred is hatred. I get it. And we'll always have that. And there are, I mean, hell, a few weeks ago when I did the whole thing about J.J. Abrams, I can't stand that man. It's not very popular. But, and it's funny because I bring that up because somebody did say, he goes, you know, I like what you said, but I disagreed with part of what you were saying. I do get it. I did enjoy it myself, blah, blah, blah. That's great. But I like to hear their point of view as to why. And they're kind enough to tell me. And it's some things that I may not always consider. That's good. Sometimes it might change my mind. Sometimes it doesn't. But I can, you know, this goes along the same lines too, that when you see hatred-filled posts on social media, they're going to try, I don't know what their intention is, whether they're trying to sway you on one division or another politically by saying, oh, your candidate is a thief and a liar and a crook and blah, blah, blah. This person is a horrible human being. You should do whatever. But that's, I don't think anybody has changed their opinion about their personal beliefs based on some meme that has been posted in social media, whether it's a photograph with some mistyped words in, or misprinted words in it, which happens a lot. God, check your spelling, people. Or content that is posted that is specifically designed to create hatred. What I said did not. I'm not here defending that per se, but I just think of this as more of a clarification, if you will. Because you have to be clear in these matters. Yes, it was an observation. There's a lot of people that have said some incredibly insensitive things about other people's religions, and yet they turned around and worship somebody, basically, or they're like, oh, he was such a great dude, you know. Yeah, he was also a Muslim, and I have a couple of posts up from your page there. I see that you really hate Muslims. So it's not a buffet. It's all of it or none of it, right? It's just like what we've talked about with whatever religious text that you follow, whether it's the Bible or the Quran or the Torah, whatever it is. It's not a buffet, people. You can't just take one part and make sure that it fits to your liking. But I don't like the rest of this because I'm not like that. Well, if you're going to live by that, you have to live by all of it. You can't cherry pick. You really can't. And you cannot call yourself whatever religion, you know, I am a blank practitioner, therefore I believe blank is right or blank is wrong. But yet you turn around and become a hypocrite in and of itself. And that's what it is. It's hypocrisy. All of it is. People in general are very hypocritical creatures. We will often say things and do something completely different. All of us do it. We've seen it a ton of times. I try not to be. Because I know that I do know that my words have impact. That's the difference between what I do for a living and what somebody attempts to try when they see me do this. Because then it comes out as hate, it comes out as vitriol, it comes out as venom and spit and fire, and it comes out wrong. I made a simple observation. And it tracked well all over the country. It's an interesting point of view. And you can tell that there were people, I know there's people that saw it and didn't even want to get involved in that conversation. Because hey, did you see what I wrote up there? Yes. So, did you watch the Netflix last night? It's a quick subject change. It's going to change the subject matter here because they're not going to get involved with that thing. The reason why that is, and here's a little peek into how this kind of works as well. There's a term for this. It's called a conversational hand grenade. I love using them. They're a great tool. A conversational hand grenade is akin to me pulling out a hand grenade and pulling the pin, but keeping the little metal flap down and handing it to somebody and disregarding the pin and waiting for it to go off out of their own inability to maintain their grip on it. A conversational hand grenade, in its truest sense, is me uttering a statement and to watch people deal with it, to come to grips with it, to understand it, and to somehow argue against it. Because they do it all the time. It's never meant to create a debate. It's never meant to create angst or hatred. But conversational hand grenades happen like that all the time, and I love using them. It's a great ploy. Well, that's just Rick. He's just, he's controversial. He's just some hump with a microphone that thinks he knows what's going on in the world. Well, I'd like to think that I kind of do have a pretty good grip on what's going on in the world because, I read. I look at things. I read it from all sources. When it comes to politics, I look at things from the left side and the right side and some middle of the road. I'm trying to form my own opinions. I don't let anybody tell me how to think. God help you if you're letting me tell you how to think. Don't do that. Just open up your head a little bit. Make your own decisions. Be that person. That's a good thing.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
This show from Radioland is making an appearance on YouTube on a permanent basis, apparently. You'll be able to subscribe to it. We're on camera right now, actually. Not that you're seeing much. It's just me sitting here at the mic. I can deliver special little hand messages to the people that are watching. The idea that these cameras now have followed us from the general public now into our community to stop or negate criminal activity is a problem with me. It has been argued since the founding of this country that if you sacrifice your freedom for security, you deserve neither.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Wizards is a unique place. It's been here in town for many, many years. It's in Madison. It's an alternative smoke shop, 1999 Madison Avenue. Those of you who live in Memphis know all about it. Great place. Open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And it's got some cool stuff in there, man. Oh, Lord, they got some really cool. You remember the T-shirts, Memphis as Fuck? They've got those. They're wonderful. You can get them there. They've got lava lamps. They've got woodwick candles. They've got gifts and stuff for everybody you can think of. You want to know more outside of this area? If you can't get here to Memphis anytime soon, go online. Look at them. Wizards Memphis. You can find their banner ad at radio-memphis.com. Click on it. Takes you right into the store. Shop with confidence. They'll take good care of you. And it's and they're just a great bunch of people to work with. I promise you will love your experience at Wizards because it's still smoking. All right, kids, it's time to get into some music. Just recently, we have gotten some music from a brand new, not really, it's a brand new music, and it's not, well, it came out, I forget when it did. The album is called Tales from the No-Tell Motel. Great EP. It is a band called Pangea. Yes, Pangea. We've been friends with them for a long, long time. They're a great outfit. They're a lot of fun. The song is called Dead Prostitute, and here it is from Radioland. Yeah. tune. It's a great from a great album. Pick it up. Pangea, P-E-N-G-E-A is the name of the band. Dead Prostitutes, the name of the song. Fantastic. Lots of great fun in that tune. There's some great stuff on that whole record. So go find it. Go get it. Add it to your collection. I'm sure you will dig it. And you can also find it at radio-memphis.com. Tune into us over there if you want to hear it. Request it. I'll play it. It's just that simple. All right, kids, that's it for me. I got to get on out of here, and I got stuff to do. I got a show to get to here in just a little while. I kind of got to get my shit together. I got to, yeah, you know, thanks for being a part of this. Thanks for downloading it. Thanks for commenting on it. Do me a favor. If you're listening via iTunes, if you would log into it, go to the page where this is and rate the show. If you would, a comment on it. I don't care what you say. Just do it. I just need some traction there. That would be fantastic. It's a great way to help me out. Also, you can do the same thing, I believe, in the Google Play Store, because we're now there, too. So for those of you that are not on an iPhone and you want to pick up the show, it is free there as well. Go to the Google Play Store, search it, Rick Cheddar from Radioland, and you'll find it, and you can subscribe to it. And every time we upload a show, it goes right into your queue, and away you go with it. So there you go. Share it. Tell everybody you know about it. Tell them you can always find it at radio-memphis.com and all the other places as well. Y'all take care of yourselves and take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.